This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Paul Hamilton. With Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along here at Duff's, Niagara Falls Boulevard and Military in Niagara Falls. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. And Paul Hamilton is joining me live on the West Her Hotline. Paul's appearance is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Mr. Hamilton, good afternoon.
How are you? I was just, you know, since this is a fantasy segment, I was wondering, since Ingram's not playing tonight, do you think Hockenson would be a good choice for Monday?
What is his zodiac sign, Hockenson? Can you tell me about that? Because I don't like to talk about this publicly, and we are, I think, on the air. So, but I guess I'll divulge. That is how I make a lot of my fantasy lineup choices. Is it depends on what the horoscope says.
Well, he played at the University of Iowa. Does that matter?
No, that really doesn't. No, I would need to know the man's birthday, Paul. Really, that's what it comes down to. Yeah. All right. How come you didn't come down to see me? What are you doing? You got nothing to do, right?
Yeah, it was just I've been out and about. If it wasn't in Niagara Falls, maybe I could have made it. But I was just at that Duff's in Niagara Falls to meet a friend probably a month ago. It's a great place. I enjoyed it.
I got out here in like 15 minutes from the city, but I drive like a lunatic. So, you know, that's for another time, too, along with the horoscope stuff. So, Paul, you should weigh in on today. What I'm talking about largely today is like level of confidence in both of these teams right now. Sabres 3-0-1, the Bills 4-1. Lay it on me here. Like, give me the Bills first, because we'll spend probably more time on the Sabres. Like, how are you feeling about all this?
I think my level of confidence with the Bills is good because of the schedule that they have. I mean, if they're not 6-1 after seven games. You know, I think they basically got the heaviest lift out of the way with Tennessee. And now you've got the Eagles. You never know what you're getting with the Eagles from one day to the next. I suppose they could pop up on you. But, Redskins and Dolphins, you know, I just think with the defense they have. And, there are things I do like about Allen. I do like his perseverance, how he can get you through the end of a game, even if he hasn't played well all day. I know he hasn't thrown a ball 30 yards yet this year, but for a completion, he's thrown it 30 yards. But I think that's something that might be correctable as he gets a little bit older and doesn't rush things and maybe gets a good base under him when he's throwing the ball, more technique than anything else. Because he has had some guys open and missed them, and most of the time it's overthrown, where he's got guys in stride and he overthrows them and missed the touchdown opportunity. So I like what they've done with the line. I do like Allen. I don't like some of the decisions he makes. I don't want him to get – I thought against Tennessee, I thought he was a little tentative in his running. I mean, because you could see he was thinking, should I go down or should I keep going? And then he went down, so he didn't take the big hit, especially the week after a concussion. But it got to be a little bit hesitant at times, too, like, what should I do here type of thing. And, that'll get better, too, as he starts getting used to what he needs to do out there.
I think a part of what's going on with the running is the way teams are rushing him and sort of – it's almost like – like last year, he'd take off and there'd be all this room, and he was getting big yards. And I mean, it was like it was a huge story, like what his running was like last year. I mean, it was a weapon. And so I think teams have kind of gone to school on that. And it looks to me like they're almost baiting him into running, and there's just not a lot there. You know what I mean? Like whatever downfield isn't presenting itself to his satisfaction. And so he thinks, okay, I can do this. There's an opportunity. And oh no, really there's not. The edge guys have just kind of kept me in here. And once he breaks out of there, there's like two, three guys ready to get on him. So, I think teams are doing a better job of really defending his running more than anything else.
And I think what would help him, too, is if his receivers were a little bit better at running routes. There are many times where there isn't a guy even close to open. I mean, and he's looking around downfield, and he might have a running back underneath that he can go to, but he's looking around, and it's like, no, nobody's open. What? I think if he had some receivers that are a little better route runners – I mean, sometimes they do get loose, but there's a lot of times where you look downfield and you see what he's looking at, and it's not good. So I think that would help too.
Yeah, I feel like I'm waiting for the play where he breaks. It kind of like, you remember the final play in Miami last year when he scrambled around and then threw it, and it wasn't far enough, and Clay didn't come back for it, some combination thereof, and like they could have won the game, but they didn't. But like that style play, I've not seen that play yet, and like I think that's a play that I know they don't draw that play up, right? It's not like the coordinator can go, hey, just run around like an idiot back there for 12 seconds. And, you know, John Brown, you run to the, you know, to the bottle cap. You know, I know that's not how it works. But that play, Roethlisberger's made a living on that play. Mahomes makes that play. And I know I'm talking about elite players, but Allen has the skill set to make that play. You know, like I'm waiting for that play to become something that he can be successful at. And I think you need the receivers to like sort of cooperate with you on that and find, you know, get open and get to a spot where he can heave it down to them, you know?
Yeah, you need that to happen too, but he'll also take off more than Mahomes or Roethlisberger will, especially Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he's
Allen
not a
will get in that
all, really.
Situation where he's running around, and instead of letting that play finish and develop, he'll take off and go gain 10 yards or 5 yards or whatever, how many yards in front of it. So I think that's a big difference between the two also.
The thing that is encouraging, though, about their offense, Paul, and this doesn't have to happen, but it certainly could. The elimination of the mistakes, like who doesn't want to eliminate their mistakes in whatever it is you do, right? I'd like to eliminate my mistakes. There's plenty of them, on the air and off. But if Allen can be sort of reined in to some extent in that regard, they are moving the ball. You know, that's the thing. They're not scoring largely because of the turnovers, but their yards are there. Like they're not blowing up or anything, but they're moving the ball, I think, you know, in a like middle of the pack type of way, and that's an improvement, and they just need to get rid of the turnovers that are costing them opportunities to put points on the board, I think.
Well, the Jet game was, I didn't mind their offense at all except for him fumbling the ball and Beasley cost him an interception, and but they were, they, just as you said, they were moving the football. The offense to me was clicking, and then the fumble or Beasley has it go off him to an interception, and that happened. But I wasn't all that concerned about, well, this guy, they can't move the ball. All they're doing is turn it over. And no, that wasn't the case there.
Yeah, it wasn't three and out or whatever. Yeah, I think they're moving it. Yeah. All right. Well, good on that, Paul. Thank you for playing along with me here. The Sabres. I think maybe the scariest thing about what they're doing so far is that the power play is carrying them. They're leading the league in goals. And, look, there's a lot of talent on that power play, and it could very well be a top five power play in the league all year long because of the skill that is there. But, you know, even a top five power play is going to be converting at about half the rate they're converting at right now, right? I mean, they are knocking it out of the park here with the power play.
Well, in the first two games, it wasn't just the power play, but – basically in the last two games, that's how they've put points, you know, goals on the board, is basically it's going to be power play. And it was pretty much was three yesterday. Montreal just gotten the guy out of penalty box when they scored on the 4-on-3, so it wasn't technically a power play goal, but it pretty much was. So, you know, that's how they got that win, and that's the only reason the way they got a point in Columbus, too, was because of the power play. So I think they need to get back to the way they played in the first couple of games. Now, the thing is, too, other teams have tape. They saw the first two games. And they go, okay, this is what they're going to be doing here, huh? So now they're going to do counteracting moves defensively to help to try to throw the Sabres off and to be able to counter on the Sabres and try to make them start running around. There were times on defense yesterday where they were running around like they were last year. It got to, people were out of position. They were chasing the Canadians, and the Canadians looked like the Harlem Globetrotters out there the way they were moving the puck in the offensive zone. There were other times where the Sabres looked like they did in the first two games and were clicking on all cylinders. They were in the zone. They were on the forecheck. They were doing well. It was really a strange, strange game that way, how both teams would take the momentum of the game and just take it over so quickly. It wasn't like you take the momentum and keep it for 15, 20 minutes. You take the momentum and maybe for three shifts, it's going to be your turn to be in the offensive zone. And then all of a sudden you make a mistake and now it's coming the other way. Now you're hemmed into your zone. And it also depended which line was out there. The Larson line spent pretty much the whole night in the offensive zone, creating opportunities. And the Mittelstadt line, when they were on the ice, pretty much spent the whole night in the defensive zone. So it also depended on which line was on the ice.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I think it's encouraging that Larson, Gergensen, Oposo are playing the way they're playing. And I know you want to get goals. And I think like a part of when people cite the possession stats and the shot attempts and all that stuff, it's something that line is absolutely dominating at. It's because it should lead to chances and should lead to goals eventually. You know what I mean? If you're spending that much time, certainly you're definitely not getting scored on if you're down there. And, you know, just the odd schmozzle, the bounce here, whatever, a rebound that just falls favorably for you. Like, I think you're going to get goals. I'm not saying you're going to get a landslide of goals, but I think you'll get production from that line if they keep dominating like that. I think it's only a matter of time, even with, you know, it not being the most skilled line, although Oposo has got, you know, he's got pretty nice hands.
Yeah, and they were in their defensive zone maybe once all night, and they got scored on. That was the play where Armia takes a puck off the back wall and with one hand just flings it up out in front of the net. It's like, what? Somebody tweeted, it might have been Jeremy or you or somebody, that he should get a lottery ticket then.
It was Jeremy, yeah.
It was like, yeah, he's had a pretty crazy night, and that assist was part of it. It was one hand on the stick. He played it off the wall and just swatted it out in front, and, of course, his guy's standing there. And I'm not going to really jump on the Larson line for that. I don't know how much – what are you going to do about that one? But that was pretty much almost the only time they were in the defensive zone. They were in the offensive zone the rest of the game.
The plays that led to goals, I mean, the defenseman Chariot scored, like that was more of a regular play, off of a cycle and whatever. The other plays, the shorthanded goal was just, to me, classic. We've got the man advantage. We'll get the puck back. It'll be fine. Like, that's what Eichel and Olofsson to me look like on that play. Like, we're fine here. I don't have to really dig in. Whoa. Whoops, right? And suddenly the guy's all alone in front of my goalie.
Bulldog, what the problem was is they came right at Dahlin as he's coming out of the zone, basically pinned him over on that side, and he turned and put the puck right back where he came from. And my thought is, Rasmus, who do you think is going to be there? You just left that area. That's your area.
Right.
So you basically tried to drop the puck back to yourself, and that's not going to work. And next thing you know, there's Thompson standing there with the puck. So that was more just of, you know, again, a young player. And I had a chance to talk to his defensive partner, Colin Miller, today about the youngster. And that's the type of thing. I mean, he's a mentor for him now. And that's the type of thing that he's trying. All right, Rasmus will now come to the bench and be crazy mad. And that's the type of thing that he's trying to get out of him. Say, you know, look at, you know, you're 19 years old. You're going to make some mistakes. We got more hockey to play here. You can't sit here on the bench and be throwing things and brooding, and you understand you did something wrong, and we have another shift coming up. You know, and that's where he's trying to help the kid.
Right. Darlene's ice time has been kind of – it's been something to watch, coupled with Ristolainen still playing like 25 minutes, at least last night. If there has been a night in Darlene's career so far where I wasn't against him being scaled back later in the game, it was last night. He just had a really tough night, I thought, Paul, even though he picked up what he picked up, an assist, right? One assist, yeah. on the night.
It was in the neutral zone, all night long in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
He really had a tough night, but yet here is a 4-on-3 power play in overtime, and I'm sitting there going, why are these four on the ice? What are you doing? It's not that they were bad hockey players, but Darlene
right.
and Olsson have been red hot on the power play, and neither one of them are out there. And I'm
right.
like, what are you doing? And then they scored, and I go, oh, okay, you're the coach. I guess that's why you're coaching and I'm not.
Right.
Because it worked.
Joe corrects me. It was two assists for Darlene again last night, by the way.
Yeah, he's actually third in the league in scoring right now.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's – and he's playing – what's he playing, like 15 minutes a night?
Yeah, depending on the night. Yeah, depending on the night.
No, it's he's averaging 18.35. Sorry, I underestimated it. But either way, he's producing. I mean, it's tremendous. And, you know, I think those nights, I just figure that's part of it, right? I mean, it's just going to happen. How about Miller, Paul? Like, both he and Johansson, like, they hook up on the winner there in overtime. And both of those guys, I think, have – Miller, I think, is pretty much as advertised. I was very, very – I had very high hopes for him. Johansson, I was a little more worried because of the role he was going to put in. He was a signing I liked, but I was a little concerned about him maybe being put at center again for the first time in a few years and whether or not that was going to be a good idea. But, boy, the outside of the play where Skinner stole the puck and did it all himself against Columbus, his other two goals had been perfect, really high-level skill passes from Johansson.
He knows where to be. You know, as Johansson, in that case, he's just a smart player, knows where to be. In Miller's case, I think he's already the Sabres' best defenseman. That doesn't surprise me. I kind of thought that might be the case. And that's, to me, why Ristolainen does not need to be playing 25 minutes like he did last night. And everybody, they've said it for years, different coaches, different GMs.
Yeah.
We got to scale this guy back. And they don't scale him back. And to me, there's no excuse for it. He does not need to be playing. That last night was not his best game. And so it wasn't like, you know, he's really playing well tonight. We got to roll him out there. He's really playing mediocre tonight, and you really didn't need to be rolling him out there. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, Miller is your best defenseman right now. And I know maybe Darlene's having a rough night, but you can always – you switch the forward units. I mean, you don't late in the game, you don't want Olsson out there, so VC winds up there, so – why can't you throw McCabe out there with Miller? You know, it doesn't have to be Darlene. If he's having a rough night, you can throw McCabe out there with Miller and let them, you know, roll up the minutes if you want to. But in my mind right now, Miller's playing the best of the six.
Is it possible that Ristolainen is, like, hypnotizing coaches, going out there when he's not supposed to and nobody wants to yell at him? Like, what? It's incredible that when you say it that way that you've got – I think Bylsma – although I'll bet Nolan said it too. Like everybody has talked about wanting him. He'll be more effective if he plays 20 minutes or 22 minutes and just shave that down. And here we are, like a whole new crew, you know, at least a couple of new pieces back there that can ease the burden, and it just keeps happening. I don't know. I think it's really something to watch. Unless they're just continuing to put him in that role so that they can say, like, yes, he's playing number one defenseman minutes. What do you want to give us in a trade?
No, I don't believe
right?
that stuff. I don't believe in that
no.
stuff at all. Especially this coach. I don't think Bottrell's telling him who to play, who not to play, and how long. I think when he's good, he's very good. I mean, when he's good and on his game, he is a number one defenseman. And I think that's the problem, is he tricks you. You're like, look at how good he is, and then it makes you want to. Well, you got to get him out there more, because I want to see more of that. But then you see 7 minutes of what's he doing out there, you know, type of thing. And right. And that's the problem. But when he is good, he definitely is a number one defenseman and a very good defenseman in this league. It's just not enough. You don't see enough of it. And I think that's what really tantalizes coaches to want to get him out there, because they're hoping the good comes out.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think needs to happen for Mittelstadt and VC? Rodriguez had his first night on that line last night, and, I mean, they just were – you said it already. They were hemmed in their zone all night. You know, someone on Twitter, I don't remember who now, made a point about how long it took Reinhart to really get to the level he's at now. And maybe we got to keep that in mind with Mittelstadt. Because it's it's not happening. Like, he's in a pretty sheltered situation now because of Johansson being here with that line with Skinner on it, and it's still just not happening.
I think Nate McKinnon's a better example. It took him 4 years. He didn't get in the 90s in points till his fifth season, and I know people don't want to hear that. So it could take 3-4 years for Mittelstadt to get where he wants, where the Sabres want him to be. Couturier in Philadelphia is another example of that. It took him 3-4 years to become the player that the Flyers thought he could be. So, yeah, I think it's going to be patience with him. I know people don't want to hear it. I'm trying to think if Jimmy Vesey's had a scoring chance yet. I can't think of a play where I thought, ooh, he just missed.
Yeah.
He just hasn't. But you got to be in the offensive zone to get some scoring chances. So maybe it's time to take Sobotka off the Johansson line and flip Vesey over to the right wing on that line and try something a little bit different. And I don't know, flip things somehow or another to try to get that line going.
Yeah, I mentioned Vesey had one. There was one, he got the puck in the high slot, it was on his backhand, and he just flipped a backhand at the goalie. Like, that was the first time all year, really, for me, that I went, oh, hey, there's VC. Oh, yeah, okay, no. That was mostly, there hasn't been a lot there. But, you know, he's not someone I was expecting to come in here and, like, really light it up. You know, he scored, 17 goals every year he's been in the league. So, you know, if it's early for the guys who are really producing, it's also early for the guys who aren't, right? Plenty of time. Maybe, you know, hopefully it'll come. So
yeah, I was thinking maybe he could get to 20. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you tomorrow, right? We're gonna have you for an hour tomorrow, right?
Yes, down at 716.
Paul is going to join me at 716 at 5 o'clock and hang out and talk to Jason Bottrell with me, which I'm happy about. So, all right, I'll see you tomorrow,
Paul.
The
only shame about
being
in 716 is it's game day, so I can't have a beer. But other than that, it'll be great.
Yeah. I won't tell if you sneak one. Just so you know. You're too much. You're a pro's pro, Paul. I know. I don't have to say that to you. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Take care.
That's Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All right, we'll fire it back up here. Spent the first hour talking about your confidence level in both teams. I'm always of the mind, I've been saying this for years, I made the point once already this week, when it's good, I tend to want to enjoy it. Because in this job, look, it's not often that good. So that's my mindset. I mean, that doesn't mean that I'm positive these teams are going to continue to play like they're playing. But I like to kick back and enjoy it when it comes. And right now, I mean, it's been all pretty good. So lines are open, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Your level of confidence in the 4-1 Bills and the 3-0-1 Sabres. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. We're live at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at the corner of Military in Niagara Falls. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
it's right in the wheelhouse of expectations. When you looked at that schedule, you knew that they're going to have to find a way. They would have to find a way to lose games against the Giants, the Jets, the Bengals. Those are easy dubs off paper. I thought the Titans was always going to be a swing game, though. New England, if they're going to beat New England, it was probably that spot, but the loss is not a huge surprise. Titans could have gone either way, and the fact that they were able to get out a victory last Sunday, I don't think speaks volumes to how talented this team is on the defensive side of the ball, how well coached they are on the offensive side of the ball. And it's that one thing. It's just turning the ball over and hanging on to it that's holding this offense back.
That is ESPN.com Bills reporter Marcel Louis-Jacques. He was a guest with the DiBiase boys earlier this afternoon. They were on noon to 3. The One Bills Live show took today and tomorrow off, so you'll hear Sneaky Joe and his brother Lou tomorrow again from noon to 3. It's Lou or it's Lou, right? Not Louie?
Yeah, it's Lou. I mean, he goes by both, but
okay. Lou, just now when I said it, I'm like, I haven't said it frequently enough on the air to know which it is, and now I'm going to ask on the air, which is awkward, but whatever. If I was making a mistake right there, I wanted to be corrected immediately. That's how I like to be coached, Joe. I want to be told right away that
quick
I did
fixes.
It wrong.
Quick fixes, right.
Yeah. I don't, because you come to me like 2 weeks later and be like, I don't even remember what you're talking about.
No, then you can't. Then you'll never kick the habit. You'll never.
No,
it,
right.
It's ingrained by that point.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It had to be now.
No, you had to write that. Right.
Yeah, good. All right, thank you. Nice job today, by the way. You and your brother sounded very good.
Thank you.
I look forward
that.
To hearing you again tomorrow. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. He'll be off again tomorrow. Today I am at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard and Military in Niagara Falls. You are encouraged to come by here and get a code word for the Labatt Blue Pittsburgh trip. You get two game tickets to see the Bills play in Pittsburgh on Sunday, December 15th. Round trip coach, transportation, food and beverages, plus Labatt and Bills gear. What you do is come here while we're on the air today. Find out what the code word is for the contest, and then go to the website, WGR550.com. That's our website. And enter the code word, and then you'll be entered in the contest. That's how it works. And that should be a pretty cool trip and maybe a very meaningful game. That's what we're talking about here, sort of forecasting and hearing what level of confidence you have in both teams. Look, the getting's good right now, so I'm getting. It's a beautiful fall day outside. The Bills are 4-1. The Sabres are 3-0-1. What's your confidence level in this sort of lasting for both teams? We spent a good hour on that to start the show, and we'll spend a good while on it here and later as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Ross is first up this segment. Hello, Ross. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Bulldog.
Sure.
I'm more confident right now with the Bills like this year, because seeing that defense of theirs just looks like, you know, makes me confident they will make the playoffs, that we can compete with anybody, especially the New England game we had our opportunity to win that game. The Sabres, sometimes I have to wait till January because we've had slow starts, I remember, with Lindy, and they after January, it was like we were world beaters, basically. I mean, and last year kind of took me off of that confidence sometimes last year with that after that 10-game winning streak. But seeing, like, Ralph Kruger, I'm slowly getting confident on the way they're playing, because I thought like, this year right now, I think that this year right now it looks a little bit better. But, again, it's only four games, so there's 58 more. So it's like, I'm probably more confident right now about the Bills than I am the Sabres right now.
Thank you, Ross. I would bet that that's I don't know. It might be close. My knee jerk is that would be the majority opinion, because of. I think you have reason to believe you've watched the Bills defense through three seasons with McDermott. Be good to very good to even great. Like right now, they might be great on that side of the ball. I mean, they are tough to handle. So, like that, I don't think that's going anywhere right now. And, you know, you're also 5 games into a 16-game season, and the Sabres are 4 games into a 82-game season. The one thing that I think, hopefully, I put it this way yesterday, and I want to try to put it the same way again now. I hope that this goes well enough with the Sabres that we are fending off people worrying about last year. Like last year happened, and there's we all those of us who are on the radio are you know, it's going to be hard to forget that we were, hey, all I got to do is go 500 the rest of the way. Like, we're all set, the 10-game winning streak. But within that was the fact that they were winning games in overtime and shootouts in that 10 games. So they were not doing what they've done in, I don't know, I don't want to give them last night. Like, last night they played what I think is a strong – Montreal, I think, is good. They just missed last year the playoffs. I think that's a team you're going to have to beat out for a spot, and I don't think it's going to be easy. That's a good team. That's a fast team, and to me, the speed teams are the toughest to deal with because they just – they take away your space. They take away your ability to make plays because they're just on you. And they played them even. Basically, I mean, they got drummed in the first period. They did some drumming of their own in the second. And then, I think, you know, the third was maybe more of a split, but it ended up being like pretty much a 50-50 split of, you know, shot attempts and expected goals and things like that. The first two games, they dominated in that. And in the third game in Columbus, they kind of had that done to them. They got dominated. The point is this. If they continue to track in a favorable way as it pertains to that, like how they're playing within these games, not just the results, right? Obviously, you need the results for the standings. But if they're getting both, they're getting the result, and it's not, for lack of a better way to put it, fluky. If it's not just hang on tight, get to overtime, your goalie saves you, and you steal points. Like, I don't think that happened last night. I think they played, I think, a good team that they'll hopefully be competing with all year long pretty straight up in the end. I mean, each team took turns dominating. And in the end, it was a pretty even game. And that's, you know, there's no shame in that. You're not going to just, you know, annihilate good teams. And again, I think Montreal is a good team. They're not a great team. They're not in the Toronto, Tampa, Boston class, but they're a good team in the Eastern Conference. So keep an eye on that. Like, if you don't want to decipher all the stuff, like, I'm not expert at reading all that stuff either, but my eyes are open to it. I'm paying attention to it. I think it matters, and it can give you some reason to believe it if they sustain that in more games than not, and are getting results. Then I think you can turn the page from, oh, well, we had a good record last year and then it fell apart. Well, they were never playing that well, even though they won 10 games in a row. Like, that can happen in hockey. It happened last year. I think it's provable. So if you have the opportunity to see this team do that on a longer, you know, for a longer stretch of games, and I think you can put last year to rest. But, you know, we're a ways away from that still. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. More of your calls on the way. John Clayton is coming up at the top of the hour at 5:30. We'll have Evan Abrams from the Action Network on. Both of those are regular guests now on Thursdays, so hang in for that. I am the Bulldog. We're live at Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at the corner of Military. This is WGR. At Duff's on Niagara Falls Boulevard at the corner of Military. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schope has the day off. Thanks for hanging with us today. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Your confidence level in both of these clearly excellent playoff-bound teams. The Bills at 4-1, the Sabres at 3-0-1. Make sure you save that, Joe, for, you know, I don't know, some really cold, freezing cold day in February.
We'll have to do a segment right at the end of the season. So I'll have a bunch of stuff ready to go.
Good. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Again, those are the numbers. David is first up this segment. Hi, David. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Bulldog. Thanks. I actually tried to get through when Paul Hamilton was on. He kind of stole my thunder. I had a couple comments and then a question. I agree with him completely. I think Colin Miller so far has been an absolute steal. I actually made the comment to my sons after the second game that I loved that they were limiting Risto's minutes. Now, I should say I am a Risto fan. I'm glad they did not trade him, but I thought he was much more effective in the first two games because they were limiting his minutes and they weren't putting him out against the top line every single time. And I think that made a huge difference too. And then the question that I wanted both of your opinions on, both of my sons think that I'm a little old school, which I probably admit that I am. And don't misunderstand me. I think Dahlin and Jack are both going to be great players, but it still drives me crazy that their puck management is still, they're still kind of loosey-goosey with the puck. I get that they're creative and all that kind of stuff, but I think they need to find the balance between that creativity and having a little more puck security and not giving the puck away and creating odd-man rushes as much as they do, and I wanted your opinion on that.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, David. I don't think take care of the puck necessarily is old school. If you were mad that neither guy runs people through the walls, then that would truly be an old school position. I think it's a little bit like Josh Allen. Although with Josh Allen, you're not getting the spectacular yet. And you know, we don't know. I don't want to just assume we're going to. You hope you're going to, certainly. Eichel and Dahlin, that just it kind of comes with the territory to an extent, but you can be better. Like Dahlin last night, I don't need a lot of two assists, great, obviously great, but he was kind of a mess. he had a very, very tough night, and if there were too many nights like that, like I'd have a real problem. I don't think there will be. Eichel had a giveaway that turned into a goal. He coughed up the puck in overtime in Columbus, too. So you got a couple of recent examples. But again, last night, what did Eichel give you? You know, like if Eichel's being careful with the puck, he probably doesn't circle at the faceoff circles in his own zone, deke Thomas Tatar out of his jock, and then take on three defenders at the Montreal blue line and get a wrist shot off from 40 feet for his second goal of the game. That probably wasn't good puck management, right? I mean, he took chances. He didn't use his teammates. It was a highlight reel goal we're going to be watching all year. So, you know, there's a yin and a yang there. I can't take that out of them. You know, you want to have fewer of the mistakes, sure. But the talent, I mean, I think right now, Kruger, it's very interesting to me that Kruger said that Jack is, Joe, do you maybe have the quote handy? He's nowhere near fully formed as a player yet, or something to that effect, he said about Eichel last night. And, I mean, if he's right about that, sit with that for a minute, right? I mean, just think about that. And I think he's probably referring to the mistakes and the you know being too careless with the puck at times when he says that. Yeah, Joe, you got it?
What he did tonight is not surprising for me because I've been watching it now since the 13th of September, and Jack is just one of the very elite players in the league. His game isn't even near complete. Just really excited to be coaching a player with that skill set and going to work hard to try to help him to get better.
I mean, again, he doesn't have to be right, and there's probably some level of coach speak in there, but his game isn't anywhere near complete. I mean, if there's a lot more there, that's pretty sweet. So, look, take the bad with the good. is what I would tell you, and just hope that as experience grows, that you get less of the bad, because the good is good. I mean, 2 goals, 2 assists last night. Darlene even had 2 assists on maybe one of the worst games I've watched him play, and he still gets 2 assists. It's ridiculous, the talent that's there. Thanks a lot for the calls. We'll get back to calls coming up here in a little bit. We've got a couple of guests here back-to-back. John Clayton coming up right after the break, and then Evan Abrams from the Action Network. But I definitely want to dig back into this once we get done with those two guests. So if you haven't gotten through yet, we'll get back to it in a little while here. I'm the Bulldog. We're live at Duff's on the Boulevard, Niagara Falls Boulevard, and Military in Niagara Falls. So stop on out and say hi. Mike Schoep has the day off. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.